Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends in the public media spectrum across our region, bringing you the latest headlines. I am Carl Lengel. It is the 8th of April, 2026, a Wednesday. The war in Iran is impacting more than gas prices. Montana's farmers have been hit particularly hard. Montana Public Radio's Victoria Traxler reports price increases and market instability are straining producers already under pressure.
Since the war began, prices for farming basics have skyrocketed. The price of gas increased 74%. Fertilizer prices followed close behind. One nitrogen-based fertilizer saw a 50% increase in cost since February, and it's still rising. Montana Farmers Union President Walter Schweitzer says what he's hearing from their members is...
They're in trouble. I think there'll be less acres planted. I think that there'll be less fertilizer used, which will have impacts on yields.
According to data from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Montana is already losing planted acres this year. Nearly a million less acres will be farmed in 2026 compared to 2024. Schweitzer says it's a pivotal time for communities to support their local farms and ranches.
When you're going to the grocery store, ask for Montana-produced food. Ask for Montana-packaged food.
In Missoula, I'm Victoria Traxler.
Montana is updating highway welcome signs along state lines after more than a decade. Yellowstone Public Radio's Kayla DeRoche has more.
Governor Greg Gianforte presented the new look Tuesday at the Montana State Capitol. Over 11,000 people cast their vote for the new welcome sign, the first marker many drivers see once they've entered the Treasure State. The winning design is an angular silhouette of the state with Welcome to Montana inside it. The word Montana in bold red font crosses a circular icon of mountains and sandstone. The Montana Department of Transportation will begin replacing all 34 signs this month. In Billings, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
A former Montana campaign consultant who pleaded guilty to embezzlement is now in custody. Abby Lee Cook was initially released from custody ahead of her sentencing hearing in September, but Cook was arrested last week for violating the terms of her release in Missoula. First reported by the Montana State News Bureau, Cook failed to appear for a hearing, wrote a bad check, and bought alcohol on a Bahamas cruise. A federal magistrate judge remanded Cook to jail to await sentencing. Cook owes more than $250,000 in restitution to the Democratic candidates and campaigns she illegally took money from. It's Community Planning Week in Billings. The city is presenting a series of open houses to discuss the Billings 2045 plan. Staff is on hand with visuals and explanations of maps and ideas about Billings 2 decades from now. Attendees can ask questions and share input today at City Hall Open House in the afternoon and an evening session at Newman Elementary School. Tomorrow evening, the Heights Neighborhood Plan Open House takes place at Oasis in the Heights. The Planning Commission projects the Billings is expected to increase by possibly 30,000 people in the next 2 decades. These sessions are designed to acquaint residents with the city's challenges and solutions as it moves into the future. For more information about the plan and the sessions, go to billingsmt.gov. Anthony Prade has transformed the historic Rock Shop Inn Saloon on South Pass in Wyoming into a thriving local hub. Located at 7,000 feet elevation, the saloon has a rich history as a gem store in west central Wyoming. It's turned into a popular spot for beer and live music. Prate and his father began renovating the property in 2019, restoring the saloon and converting cabins into luxurious lodgings. In recent decades, the restaurant shuttered, and subsequent private owners closed the 5-acre property to the public. Switch to present day, and the Rock Shop now attracts locals and visitors for events and outdoor activities. Prate plans to reopen the restaurant, adding to the saloon's charm. His dedication to creating a welcoming space has revived the Rock Shop as a beloved hangout. The Montana Department of Commerce announced Monday that $940,000 in grant funding has been awarded to 4 Montana communities in coal-impacted areas. The grant awards support equipment and infrastructure additions and upgrades in each of the locations. Custer County will get $140,000. The city of Hardin and Rosebud County will each receive $200,000. And Millstone School District will receive $400,000. The Montana Coal Board awards coal board impact grants to counties, communities, school districts, tribal governments, or other governmental units. Projects are designed to assist in services or facilities needed as a consequence of an increase or decrease in coal development or in the consumption of coal by a coal-using energy complex. Conservative lawmakers in multiple states, including Wyoming, are passing legislation to increase protections for crisis pregnancy centers they claim are being attacked after the overturn of Roe v. Wade, according to reporting from KFF Health News. Eric Galatas with Wyoming News Service has more.
CPCs provide some health-related services, but a big part of their work is trying to persuade women not to get abortions. House Bill 3 shields CPCs from having to meet medical standards that regulate facilities like Wellspring Health Access, the state's only abortion clinic. Wellspring President Julie Burkhart points to other laws that have made it much harder to provide reproductive health care.
On the flip side of that coin, year after year, the same folks who want that exemption for the CPCs try to legislate us out of business.
The Wyoming Supreme Court found that the state's total ban on abortions violated the fundamental rights of an individual to make their own health care decisions. But last month, lawmakers passed a six-week abortion ban that remains in effect during legal challenges. The Life Choice Pregnancy Care Center in Cheyenne testified that HB 3, which was drafted by an anti-abortion legal advocacy group, was necessary to protect constitutional freedoms, freedom of speech, and freedom of conscience. This story was produced with original reporting from Jasmine Orozco-Rodriguez for KFF Health News. I'm Eric Galatas.
Hundreds of miles of open road can stretch between expectant mothers and the maternity care they need in rural Montana. That's where trained non-medical professionals called doulas can help fill the gap. Montana was set to start reimbursing doulas through Medicaid this year, but federal cuts to the health program have put that plan on ice. Montana Public Radio's Austin Amestoy spoke with KFF Health News reporter Catherine Houghton about the impact.
So Montana was supposed to start reimbursing doulas through Medicaid this year. Lawmakers had voted for that plan in 2025. That's not happening now. Why not?
The state health department cited a big budget shortfall, and that was partially driven by higher-than-expected Medicaid costs. But the agency is scrambling in a few ways. They also noticed a big gap in federal Medicaid funds, both for this year and next year. And part of that comes from Republicans' massive tax and spending law, which I think at this point is best known as the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. That law is projected to reduce federal Medicaid spending by about $1 trillion over the next decade. So Montana is definitely an early example of a program that's getting cut, but really it's likely just the start of stories like this.
You recently traveled to the Northern Cheyenne Indian Reservation in southeast Montana to help tell this story. Why did you choose to go there and who did you meet?
So I went there specifically because I kept hearing about Misty Pipe from people who are trying to improve access to maternity care. And so Misty actually offers her care for free, and that's around a day job and raising her and her husband's own 7 children. So she is really doing this because she knows what it's like to give birth in this community, from this community, when home is 100 miles away from the care you need. So she is trying to support parents in kind of their process of preparing for delivery and also give them the tools they need to be safe in that process, and then also the support they need after the baby has arrived.
And Misty would have been reimbursed through Medicaid for her services as a doula, it sounds like, but that isn't happening anymore, right?
Right. Yeah, I had actually linked up with Misty months ago, and my plan was to profile her as the state began reimbursing doulas through Medicaid. And she had hoped that reimbursement meant she could do this work full time and actually start getting paid for that, so she could afford to leave her day job and serve parents just throughout her community as they needed. Obviously, the story changed with the budget cuts.
What might the consequences of the cuts to Medicaid be for communities like Lame Deer or other tribal communities that lacked more robust health systems?
Right. So in this case, it means some people far from care are going to continue to face pregnancy alone. And we know that can be dangerous. Studies show that doula support reduces the rate of medical complications, and that's both in pregnancy and postpartum, so soon after the baby arrives. It's also important, though, to recognize that in many tribal communities, a lack of care coincides with centuries of systematic discrimination. And all of that really plays into longstanding health inequities that we've known about. And so Indigenous patients are supposed to be guaranteed access to health care through the federal agency called Indian Health Service. But the agency's clinics and hospitals are chronically underfunded and sometimes can't offer what seems like basic care, like dental work or delivering a baby. So when IHS falls short, Medicaid is often the fallback. Chipping away at that program means even further shrinking access to care.
So this expansion of Medicaid reimbursement into the doula space is on pause for now. Has Montana given any clarity on how steep the Medicaid cuts could get from here?
In short, the state has not provided much clarity. After telling me doula services weren't getting funding after all, spokespeople with the health department kind of went silent. They haven't answered any of my follow-up questions, which I've been asking for weeks at this point. But we do know that other services are on the chopping block. There's a category of something called optional Medicaid services. So those are services that states have deemed important enough to cover, but they're not required to by federal law. So what that means is that those types of services are at risk of losing funding, especially as states brace for federal Medicaid cuts. And those services can include doula care, it can include home health services, dental work, hospice. It's a pretty long list. And we know, too, that Montana health officials have said at this point, nothing's off the table. So Montana is definitely an early example of a program that's been cut, but really, it's likely just the start of stories like this.
Catherine Houghton is a reporter for KFF Health News. Catherine, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's The Worm for this Wednesday. Catch up with us tomorrow. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.